In podcast 816, we're going to use this beautiful backdrop of the Northwest Sportsman Show here in Minneapolis over the weekend to talk about breaking news that the fishing expedition is over and we didn't catch no fish. And we're going to talk about that, the Mueller investigation final outcome in podcast 816, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, as we walk through the Northwest Sportsman Show, it occurs to me that, you know, you can be injured when you're out having fun. And it's what happens is you're playing, you're fishing, you're doing whatever you're doing. You're not thinking about getting hurt. So what do you do if you're injured? Or if someone that is in your family or a friend gets injured, what do you do? Do you handle the claim by yourself? Do you deal with the other person's lawyer? It might be a good idea to have somebody like John D. Scott of Hoffman Hamer & Associates work with you. John is a great personal injury lawyer, and what he concentrates on is trying to get people's lives back by helping them sort of negotiate through the maze of the workman's comp if it's a work injury, or the legalities if it's not a work injury. So I think what you should do is put John's number aside, just because you never know when you're going to need it. 952-683-1351. That's 952-683-1351. Yes, accidents come usually without any warning, especially when you're having fun and not thinking about a catastrophe. You know, I've told the story last summer about the young guy who was run over by a boat. They were out skiing, having a great time, and the boat ran over this guy. And John had to help him get his life back and figure out how to get him back to work after that incident. So, again, these things are horrible, and they happen. And when they happen, you got to have somebody who can take the weight off of your shoulders. Call John D. Scott of Hoffman Hamer & Associates at 952-683-1351. That's 952-683-1351. You can click on the banner at the top of the page that has John's picture on it, or you can visit jdsinjurylaw.com. There is a contact page at jdsinjurylaw.com that you can put in there. John's a great guy. He is very interested in helping clients. It's not always so much about going to court as it is negotiating the thicket and working with the other side to get you what you need. John D. Scott, Hoffman Hamer & Associates, personal injury attorney. Yeah, I went to the Sportsman Show, which is, I've always known this show to be, a fishing and hunting and boat show, basically, for specific things like fishing and pontoon boats and stuff like that. And there's a lot of boats at this show, and I went over to this show over the weekend. And I was going to do a podcast from the show, and I ended up just recording live sound. And I think this is a great backdrop for us to have an easy talker about the Mueller memo, which was released, and then the Attorney General wrote a 4-page summary of what the report said and released the 4-page summary. And hilarity has ensued. And there's a lot of different ways that I could go with this, but I want to talk about this whole thing and also a number of other observations that I've had over this weekend as we, anticipated this report coming out. And I'm going to start with a simple idea, which was I was impressed with this show, as I always am every year. You know, they used to have it over in St. Paul at the old Civic Center. Now it's in the much more plush, surroundings of the Minneapolis Convention Center. They have carpeting on the floor like they do with auto shows, right? And I remember these shows, the Northwest Sportsman Show, when there was no carpeting on the floor and it was cold in there. And, you know, so there's a throwback to this. I do not hunt or fish. I like to camp, and I get a big kick out of these boats, these fishing boats. So it's not something that I necessarily have an affinity for. But I really enjoy walking up and down the aisles here, looking at the many, many, many exhibits for people who are marketing their resorts or marketing their tours or marketing, renting RVs or marketing various places that you can go and see and lakes and fishing guides. And then you walk down and you go through, it's really cool because some of the fishing stores that have been coming to this thing for a long time, the fish tackle, whatever they call it, they have huge, facilities where people can buy rods and reels and all sorts of, things that go with that. And you see Minnesotans and upper Northwesterners, upper Midwesterners and Northwesterners as they are. This Northwest sportsman show really captures the attention. It's a rite of spring in this state, and it really captures the attention of people here. And it's really fun to just see regular old people with their, baseball caps on, with the family, looking at boats and talking to the guy selling the boats and, going over here looking at fishing tackle. And if you look over that way, you'll see people eating hot dogs, talking about where they want to, talking to the guys sitting around the Gull Lake thing where people can go up and go fishing there. And also the Alaska trips and the Alaska outfitters and even some safari outfitters. It's really just something that people can do that has nothing to do with anything. It's not a car show. It's just a pastime and hobby that everybody in the upper Midwest and a lot of people in the Northwest even move here because of the outdoors life, the ice fishing, the lakes, the boating, and all those things. And they aren't thinking about anything else other than, what are they going to do this summer? Are they going to continue to go to the lake or buy a trailer and so they can go to some other, mom and dad's lake cabin? Or are we going to get a trailer so we can go somewhere else? And what fishing trips are we going to go on? And what should we do with the kids? They're old enough now that they can really enjoy this. And let's go look at some, toys. Let's look at, the guys from Fractional Toys are here. Let's go over and look at the camper and then all of these, ATVs and so forth. And it's a great experience because it shows you that there is a piece of life, and it's a big show. A lot of people will go through this show this weekend. There'll be thousands and thousands of people will come, and they will look around, and they'll have a good time and think about what they're going to do this spring and summer, which in this part of the country is so short. I don't want to belabor it, but I contrast these people with the people who are absolutely obsessed with politics. So the special prosecutor Mueller submits his report to the Justice Department in the form of the Attorney General. The Attorney General then writes, and this is required by statute, a summary of what is in the report. And the summary says, after I don't know how many months, it seems to me like it's been since 2016, 25 months or so, or 24 months, or however many, and 50 million or 25 million, or how much they spent to investigate whether or not the president, quote unquote, colluded, which, by the way, is not a legal term. The word would be conspiracy. So whether the president conspired or whether anybody in his campaign conspired with a foreign government to achieve election. And the Russians then did their thing with fake news on Facebook and on YouTube and, all that. And, the click farms, and anybody who pays any attention to this stuff knows the whole history. I don't need to belabor it, and I'm not going to. So when the report came out, it was online immediately. You can read all four pages of it, and it basically says, nothing to see here, folks. And I have to say, for the people, I don't believe I have too many Democrat listeners, but you can't really hold it against Republicans to take a victory lap on this, and you certainly can't hold it against the president for taking a quiet, perhaps, we'll see what happens, but a quiet victory lap And now there are all sorts of, you know, just the rending of clothing and, you know, and self-flagellation and falling to your knees and praying to, you know, the gods above for some sort of deliverance from this kind of evil. And, you know, what are we going to do now? And there's people like Congress still is talking about, and I mean the House, still talking about impeaching the president. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that I could go with this. I could do a deep dive into this, and I could give you all the details, and no one would listen to it, because you can get that anywhere. This is my interest in it. My interest in this report is that we now have a result. So this is something that I have not discussed. The only thing that I ever said about any of it was, we need to have a special prosecutor because it's an important national security issue. If a foreign country, like, for example, Russia or China or Israel or Britain or anybody else, can influence the outcome of a United States presidential election, well, that's a serious question. And so we need to have a special prosecutor to find out what actually happened. That's what I said. And that was 2 years ago. And since then, I have said nothing about it. I refuse to speculate. I refuse to join the crowd of people in podcasting and on YouTube and on the air and in talk radio telling everybody what's going to be said and how it's going to go and what happens when this and what happens with that and everything else. Because this is what our news consists of today, is nothing but a bunch of magpies telling everybody else on the phone line what's going to happen next. What I have tried to do is I wait for an outcome, and then I talk about it. So in the case of the economy, people want to talk about how Trump is doing this incredible job with the economy. And I said, let's just wait for the GDP numbers. We have some GDP numbers. And so I did a podcast on the economic situation once we had an outcome. Now we have an outcome, which is very important to the president in that it pretty much exonerates him. What do I mean by that? Well, they didn't find any conspiracy between the president or anybody in his campaign concerning the Russians. And second, they didn't charge anyone for what might be termed obstruction of justice. There's a lot of talk about how, well, they didn't say that he didn't do it either. Here's the deal. My understanding from reading the document is that Mueller believed that after investigating it, that any question of obstruction of justice as it pertains to the president never rose to an evidentiary level that would have predicated any kind of indictment or a line in the report saying this, that, and the other thing. The fact that he didn't say he's innocent, which he can't say because it's not a court, or that the information, quote-unquote, exonerates him, it says most of his machinations occurred in public and that we don't find that the evidence rises to the bar necessary for a, quote-unquote, indictment. Now, there is debate about whether or not you can indict a sitting president, blah, 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 blah. But in any case, if Mueller wanted to, he could have said, here's the evidence that says that he did it. If you, Congress, want to indict him, that's your business. He didn't say that. He said that the evidence doesn't rise to the level of an indictment. So I would say that it pretty much, and exonerates probably the wrong word to use, but basically the report says we investigated it up one side and down the other, and we didn't find anything to do with it. We indicted a bunch of these Russians for doing the stuff that Russia did, and we indicted and charged and convicted Paul Manafort for what he did, which was obstruction of justice and God knows what else, and Michael Cohen, same thing. That's it. Thank you very much. Now, as far one more thing, and in the second half, I want to talk a little bit about media, and I want to talk about, you know, what it's like to do this, and I want to talk about people who are, you know, obsessed with politics. We're going to do that in the second half. So we're going to talk about, in the second half of this podcast, the really ridiculous obsession that people in this country have with every little drib and drab that comes out of Washington. Walking around here really makes you think about dreams. What are your dreams? Well, if you're thinking about making an addition to put on a bigger bedroom so that you, if you got more kids and your family's growing and you're thinking, should we add on to this house or sell it? And you think, well, we really don't want to move because we got good schools here or whatever. If you want to add on to your house, put in a new bathroom, put in a new kitchen. or build that man cave in the garage. If you want to build your dream, let me tell you, you got to have a builder who's going to be by your side from start to finish, and that builder is Randy Graybell at Whitetail Builders. This is what they do. With Whitetail, the process is just as important as the end result, and I am happy to refer Bob Davis Podcast listeners to Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. First of all, they're online at whitetailbuildersinc.com. There's a contact page that you can click on, the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you go to their website, you're going to see tons of examples of stuff that they've done, and it's not a big job, small job thing. They've just done some great work, and people who have used Randy at Whitetail just rave about it. So you can call Randy Graybow at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. He's in Andover. 612-282-8801. Whitetail is focused on details, and as you know, when you do any building at your house, the contractor is very, very important because they're in the house with you working on your kitchen or your bathroom or that room upstairs that you want to build. And you want somebody you can trust, and you want somebody who is going to be there to make sure things get done the way you want. And that is what Randy is all about. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or call Randy Graybow at Whitetail Builders, 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. And, you know, as I walk through here, again, I'm reminded that there are people in the world who are not obsessed with politics. There are people in the world who have jobs. They go to their job. They come home. And they have things like hobbies. They do woodworking in the garage. They fix cars. You know, they paint pictures. They do work with clay or needlepoint, or they do weaving or whatever. And it shows you these pursuits, these pastimes that people have, how truly talented people are that they do these things without an eye toward becoming famous. They don't do it because they don't become, you know, over the years, an expert fisherman because they want to be on a YouTube channel, although some of them do, and be super famous as a pro fisherman and make a fortune doing that. I think a lot of people just fish because it makes them feel good. They just enjoy being out on the water and doing their thing and having a few beers with friends, doing some fishing, and then, you know, leave the boat at the lake or else drive it home on Sunday night. That's the deal. But there are people in this world who have reached the point where they're addicted to every nuance and everything that is said and every single detail of things that will be completely forgotten in 10 years or even 5 years, let alone 20 or 30. And our entire country seems to be oriented toward feeding these people with crap so that they can go and bother their friends and, you know, pour their bile onto social media and run around and act like they know stuff when they don't. And in general, make everyone's life miserable. And they're all kinds. They come from all walks of life. They come from the right wing. They come from the left wing. And many of them are on television or on YouTube or, I'm sorry, podcasting. And they don't evolve. They don't change. And I've said this before. I don't know how people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity can do what they do every day because they haven't changed a whit in 30 years. And I don't think that would be possible for me to do. These people who are obsessed with politics, they are going to defend their guy, whoever their guy is, at any time. They're going to defend their position because that's what they do. And they're going to argue their position no matter what. No one is ever going to convince them. No one is ever going to convince Rachel Maddow of anything. No one's going to be able to convince Sean Hannity of anything. No one is going to be able to convince these idiots running up and down the street throwing things of anything. Nobody is going to be able to convince the people at your BPOU, your basic political unit in Minnesota or wherever you are, who bring the book with all the UN information in it. We refer to it as the UN book in political circles. No one is going to, you know, convince those people. You're not going to be able to say anything to those people to make them go, you know what? I guess I have wasted my life with all this nonsense. So I think I'm just going to throw this away. Thanks. You really helped me out tonight. They're not going to do that. And it seems to me that the entire country is geared to this. And what I say is this. There's a storm coming. It's going to be a tornado. It's going to be terrible. It's got, oh my God, look at the radar, blah, 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 blah. The sky gets black. The storm comes. It rains. There's some thunder and lightning, and then that's it, and it moves on. And you forget all about it until the next alert comes. Oh, my God, the sunspots are exploding. It's going to cause earthquakes. Yellowstone's going to blow. We're all going to die. The Earth's going to shift on its axis. We're going to impeach the president if it hair lifts the Pope. This guy colluded with the Russians, and the Russians are trying to destroy our country, and this is what's going to happen, and so on and so on. And people consume almost all their time, these people, thinking about this stuff, and it's a complete waste of time. First of all, none of us know anything. I don't know what Trump did or didn't do. I don't know what the Russians did or didn't do. I don't know what's going on in Washington. I don't know what Adam Schiff is doing right now. I don't know what, I don't need to have some commentator tell me what these people are doing right now and what they're thinking, what they must be thinking. Well, the president, Dave, must be thinking this is a good evening for him because this has been a long slog. He must be, and you know, the tweet this morning kind of indicated that, because they have what? They have hours and hours and hours and hours of time to fill and content to create on channels. And it is becoming clear that most of it is a waste of time. So here's what happened in 2016. What happened in 2016 is the Democrats nominated, because she insisted on it and because she was a huge power in the Democratic Party, and her husband, a former president and a former first lady and senator, insisted on being nominated president because, quote unquote, it was her turn, right? That, of course, has never happened to Republicans, but that's another story. You know, someone insisted on them being nominated because it was their turn and they carried the water and blah, 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 blah. So the Democrats nominated a terrible candidate that no one liked, and no one wanted to see her president because she's not a likable person. Her husband is a likable person. Almost everybody, even if they hated Bill Clinton's politics, certainly would have been happy to have a beer with Bill Clinton or take him on the fishing boat because he seemed to be a likable guy, right? Hillary Clinton, not so likable. And I am of the belief that any single Republican, from John Kasich all the way to Ted Cruz, could have beaten Hillary Clinton if they'd been nominated. But it was Donald Trump that got nominated because he has a big mouth. And what Republicans wanted was somebody who could take the argument across the back fence to the neighbors that they don't have the arguments for, and that's what Donald Trump did. And he happened to eke by, because he won a series of states with a lot of electoral votes, by 1% and 2%, and managed to eke out a pretty good electoral victory in 2016. So Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Missouri, Georgia, and so forth, Florida. And that is why he is president. He's not president because the Russians made him president or anything else. And I've said this before as well, if you believe the nonsense about Hillary Clinton and Pizzagate, if you believe the nonsense about Hillary Clinton and, you know, all of that stuff, if you believe the nonsense now that, Stroke and the rest of these guys, these idiots at the FBI, you know, were conspiring to overthrow the government, then, you know, you'll never know. Basically, you had a Democrat president who didn't like the Democrat candidate, but Barack Obama did not like Hillary Clinton, still doesn't like Hillary Clinton. But at the same time, if there were charges made, then they got to be pursued, and I don't fault the FBI for doing that. Did they get a little crazy with it? Yeah, probably. But, you know, what are we going to do now? We're going to have another investigation, and it's going to be about them. No, because we're not addressing the important policy issues in this country, because these politically active idiots won't let them do it. These people who all they do all day long is watch Fox News and CNN and MSNBC or whatever, and read this stuff day in and day out, and glean facts and conspiracies and have these strong opinions and have become obsessed with it, these people are driving the bus. And the rest of us are out here going to the sportsman show. And that has to change. That's the chief thing. So congratulations to Donald Trump, who doesn't have to worry about, you know, this conspiracy thing anymore. He now has to worry about the congressional Democrats going off the deep end because they still can't accept the fact that they nominated a crappy candidate in 2016 that any Republican, you know, including the street cleaner in, I don't know, Flint, Michigan, if he's a Republican, could have beat, you know, and the Democrats did that. And their people, I'm going to make one prediction. They're on the verge of doing the same thing again because they have a number of people who, in my view, are not very likable. A couple of them, maybe. But for the most part, it is an increasingly brittle, angry crowd, and I'm not hearing any policy ideas because the fact is the reason they won Congress is because they went after weak Republican candidates by running strong candidates, veterans, and the like, and they talked about health care. They didn't go out and talk about socialism and things of that nature and how terrible capitalism was. They went out and they talked about health care. Now, if they do that in 2020, well, then Trump might have himself a problem. But if they keep doing this kind of crap, and if they keep throwing tantrums because they don't get their way, and if they keep coming up with policy ideas like socialism and or quote-unquote Democrat socialism and free this and free that and printing money to pay for it, I don't think people are going to vote for him. Maybe they will. I don't know. But my opinion is I don't like Democrats because I don't agree with their public policy. But my point here is that what's driving the bus with all this media is these actives who are obsessed with politics, and they are abnormal. You people obsessed with politics out there, you're abnormal. And you're abnormal because what they're doing is they're clicking on the clicks, they're clicking on the posts, they're getting the shows, they're emailing, they're part of the whole thing, and they're driving the bus. And what are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, how to incorporate technology in the future for farming and for better health? Are we talking about repealing Obamacare? Are we talking about, you know, no, we're talking about people mad because they didn't get the Second Amendment repealed, or mad because they don't like the Electoral College, and we're going to get rid of the Electoral College so we can have a popular vote, which is, you know, don't even get me started. Or we're going to get rid of this. We're going to have an Article 5 convention and rewrite the Constitution, and because they think apparently that no Democrats would be nominated to be delegates to a new constitutional convention. This is where we are at in this country today, where people expect someone like me to sit here and analyze the letter and tell you what the letter said and everything else. And the Democrats, well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do whatever they do. The fact is, here's the situation. A report that took 2 years and $50 million has been issued. It is inconclusive. It doesn't say that anything rose to an evidentiary level which would predicate any kind of indictment, which means it isn't Watergate. And it's not the end of the Trump presidency. And he might just win in 2020, but the reason that we play the game is to find out what the outcome is. What we don't need is to have all of these magpies who are obsessed with politics 24 hours a day. And I mean your neighbor. I mean, you know, the local radio people that, you know, these idiots! These idiots! And the people on television. This is what, and the guys who sit back in their chairs and go, you know, they're all hunched back in their chairs and they're going, well, you know, Dave, I think that the situation is the president, you know, he may have done something, but there just isn't any evidence of it. And so we're just going to have to, you know, we're going to have the congressman look into it and then we're going to find out. And on to the next. And then we have a break for, you know, six commercials that have 32 seconds each of side effects, including cramping, loss of hair, scaly skin, diarrhea, and other stuff. And then we go back to, this is what I think. And people sit and watch this. And it's no wonder the country is insane. Better come to the Sportsman Show. Look at boats. Look at fishing rods. Talk to the guy from the, Alaska, cruise place. Or talk to the lady that owns the resort and she's dressed in leopard, you know, print. Slacks and has white boots on. Talk to her about the resort that she owns up in, up by Lake Mille Lacs or something like that. And go on about your business, because none of this stuff is going to make any difference, because people are going to wait until November you know, October 10th, 2020, they're going to go, oh, there's an election. I wonder who I should vote for. And then they're going to make their decision around October 10th, and all the actives are going to be sending in their absentee ballots and telling everybody what they should be thinking and everything else. And I look at these fishing people, and I can tell you, because I've been in Minnesota a long time, these people don't give a damn what you say. They're going to do what they're going to do, and all the screaming and yelling to your blue in the face isn't going to make any difference. And if you can figure out what they think before they go into the voting booth, well, then, you know, you deserve the millions that you will get from that. So the investigation's over. Breaking news. Trump is not going to be indicted. Oh, my God. Now what do we do? How about go fishing? And the upshot of all this is very simple. If we have a government that provides a constant, it becomes the focus of everything that we do, that it's involved, we're having conversations that are tearing families and people apart, people are getting upset, and it's all about the government. You know, my big thing is that, to me, is an indication there's too much government. That indicates to me that the hand of the government is too heavy, and the real issue that nobody's talking about or doing anything about, I don't care who you are, even Donald Trump with his executive orders, you know, he's still spending more. You know, the national debt is on target to be a record again, and it's a constantly expanding federal government, and by consequence and by extension, state governments as well, just becoming really, really obtrusive, meaning they intrude on our personal lives because we end up having to talk about how they are running amok, whether it's the federal government or not. And it's reaching the point where we now have this focus on our government, like the British have a focus on the royal family. And that, to me, is very dangerous. We shouldn't be discussing the government. Back in the 1800s, nobody talked about the government when they were out in the Dakota Territories or when they were doing what they were doing. They didn't talk about the government because the government didn't do anything. So they didn't have occasion to constantly be concerned about what Washington was doing because it wasn't part of their lives, because its tendrils didn't get into their lives. And that's the thing for me. That is what is a warning sign of all this, is that we're obsessed with something going on in Washington that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, nobody would have paid any attention to. Hey, I appreciate listening to the Bob Davis podcast all these years on iTunes. There's a bunch of different places. So when I started podcasting, iTunes was the only place that you could syndicate a podcast. And so my podcast, all of them, all 816 of them, are on iTunes. They're also available at Spotify, all the podcasts, blogtalkradio.com, stitcher.com, TuneIn, Google Play. And for Android devices, I get asked this all the time. I really recommend Spotify. It works. It sounds great, and it works great. Google Play Music is also really good for that. Supposedly, Google was going to come out with some podcast app. I don't know what the status of that is, so it is back to Google Play Music, but they sound real good on Google Play Music. And of course, right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com, in actually three ways. First of all, there's streaming. So if you're using Firefox, and when you hit the page, the stream is going to kick in, so you're going to hear me talk. Safari, some versions of it, that's what happens. Depending on what you're using as a browser, you have to click play to get it to initiate, or you go down, you click on the podcast you want, and then you go down to the player and hit play, and you can play it that way. You can also download it and subscribe to the feed, and then you've got it on your phone, and you can just play it off your phone. So those are some suggestions. I appreciate the likes and the shares, especially on social media. That's more important to me than favoriting and even commenting on social media sources. I also appreciate donations for Mobile Podcast Command. I'll be talking about that in the near future. The Sportsman's Show really gets me going about where I can go and what I can do. So I appreciate that for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 816. It's a recorder.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm just recording the sound. For me.
Oh. That is so cool. Let me see it.
For funsies?
Huh? Oh.
Just for funsies?
No, I do podcasts, so I'm recording.
Oh, okay.
What are you guys doing?
Have you checked these out yet?
What's that?
It's a hot and cold pack.
Oh,
there's a little coin in there. You give it a good push just like that, and it completely heats up. No batteries, wires, or microwaves.
Guys, look.
That's amazing.
It does, and it lasts for 30 to 45 minutes. After the heat is gone, you put them in hot water, and they completely melt, and you're able to re-snap them every single time.
That's
amazing.
For
like 15 years, yeah. And we do have bigger sizes, too, for the different tension in the body. So arthritis, carpal tunnel, headaches, migraines, super good. It promotes blood flow. But, you know, hunters and fishers love them to stay warm. So
sure.
Put them in your boots and your gloves.
Sure.
Yeah.
How long have you been selling these things?
These? Since like July.
Is this your business or?
No, it is not. Why?
Just wondering.
No.
Did your family sell them or what?
I mean, I do have family that does sell them. Yeah, but no, I started in July, so.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Thank you. We do make slippers too,
okay.
So if you're walking around all day, you know, sore feet.
My idea of camping is sitting at Starbucks. Pretty much.
That's awesome.
All right. Good
I
to see you.
I love Starbucks.
What's
Have
your
a
name?
Good one. My name is Jen.
Jen,
yes.
Good to meet you. See you later. Bob.